have to finish up this idea of when it's proper to be cautious with your health or with other dangerous things, and when you don't have to be so cautious. And in light of what the Mesillas Yesharim is talking about, is after ascertaining when you have to be careful and when you don't, what things should come in conflict with doing mitzvahs or whatever that you shouldn't let conflict with the mitzvah, and which things could be are reasonable to be afraid of or whatever, and even where it conflicts with a mitzvah, maybe you have to take it in consideration. Okay. That doesn't mean that that you can be mevatel a mitzvah. We're talking about mitzvahs that not like eating matzah or whatever. There are specific guidelines of what kind of sickness or what kind of dangers absolve you from the mitzvah. We're talking about going to daven with a minyan, or going to learn, or doing a chesed, or something like that. That's not a clearly defined chiyuv at any specific time, but it comes in conflict with your health, with dangerous things to do, or whatever. Okay. These are some of the guidelines. And based on this, let me start with a question somebody asked me recently. There is educational shita that with certain children, it's good to give them extreme kinds of physical activity. To what's it called, to help them become disciplined and whatever. They have these camps in the summer where they go mountain climbing and survival in the desert or whatever, and it helps kids to get some kind of misgeret and get some kind of a good feeling about themselves. I don't know, they were describing this of taking bicycling in the rain for 11 hours and I mean, I really don't feel that that would really give me any self-esteem. Probably a heart attack. But in any case, okay, you know, look, if it works, anything, you know, could try. So they have an idea of going skydiving with these kids. Skydiving, I assume, means with a parachute. Give the kids a certain, I don't know what, this fright of death. I don't know exactly what exactly it's supposed to do. But these are people who know more than me in these areas, so it's going to give them some kind of good feeling about themselves or whatever, especially when they hit the ground and they're still alive. It'll give me a good feeling about myself too at that point. Give them some self-esteem or whatever it is. It would be good educationally for these children. Is it mutter or not? Mutter for a person to go skydiving for fun. Well, here it's not for fun. Here it's for possibly a toelis. Is you're allowed to do that or not? So let's see what the criteria are, and then you'll tell me whether it's mutter or it's awesome. Okay. The klal of Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Last week we went just to Moshe Feinstein, who basically gave two conditions, pretty much. One was that the danger was minimal, and that it was something that people got tremendous enjoyment out of, where it would be difficult for them to not do. Those are the conditions where we say Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Now let's see some other conditions. The Pilpula Harifta says that anything that people, that most of the world does, and I guess it's not only Jews, but even Goyim, most of the world do this thing, and they're not Choshesh, so that is something that Shomer Psoim Hashem. If you see that most people do this, even though there could be dangers in it, and there could be that it has negative, possible negative repercussions, but the whole world does it, and they're not choshesh, then even the chatchila, a person's allowed to do this. There's nothing to worry about it, he can do it. That's the whole world does it, that's, then Shomer Psoim Hashem. Okay, that's one consideration. Okay, next. The COVID Shurim Rabbi Chanan puts another condition on it. Now, these things were not said together. They're all separate things. But I'm just giving you what different opinions are of what the major considerations and conditions to this klal is. Rabbi Chanan says like this, that it has to be a tzorech derech eretz, right? Meaning, people do this because they need to make a living. And there are people who make a living in this way. It's a normal way to make a living. Or people do this because that's the way that you function, right? People usually don't stay on the same side of the street all their life. They cross the street. Now, even though it's more dangerous to cross the street than to stay on the sidewalk, right? But in a normal life, right, people have to be able to function and take care of their basic needs, and you can't stay on the same side of the street your whole life. So it's okay to cross the street, according to this, because it's a need, and therefore doing these things, even though they may involve a danger, but it's like an onus. It's beyond my control. I can't live differently because this is something that's necessary for the normal flow of life. Whether it's earning a living, whether it's how people normally interact socially, whatever. It doesn't have to be only making a living. But that's derech haaretz is, it's similar to the first thing, but not the same. The first thing is, even if people do it and there's no purpose for it, but everybody does this, that would be okay. Here it puts another consideration. It can't just be something people do, there has to be a reason why they do it and why there's a need to do it. And if there's a need, and people do it, and there's a need for it, and not doing it would obstruct what a normal flow of life is, then that's the thing that you say, Shomer Psoim Hashem, and you don't have to be extra careful. Okay. The Mishnah Halachas adds another condition. And again, these are not necessarily all they go together. But he mentions that it has to be something where the danger is remote. It's not a imminent and reasonable danger. It could be dangerous, but it's not something that for sure is dangerous all the time. Okay, a mute of the time, like something that Moshe said also. It's just a chashash rachok. That's what he says. It's a unreasonable suspicion that danger will come from this. Okay, but if it's something that's very reasonable and very shriach, what's the word I'm looking for? No, usual. It's a usual danger, not unusual. Then the halacha would be differently.
Would there be any halacha?
Wait, ask me a question. Let's go through the whole thing and then take questions. Okay, some say that limits this thing completely. This klal is mentioned a few places in the Gemara, Shomer Psoim Hashem, by specific things. Like we said, like a girl between 11 and 12 getting married and having normal relations where she could possibly become pregnant, and if she becomes pregnant, it could end in death for her. Okay? Usually she won't get pregnant, and even if she does, maybe she, won't kill her, whatever, but there it says, Shomer Psoim Hashem. She's allowed to have normal relations, and she has to, she can't, even though there's a danger. So there, it's fits into the thing. It's, perhaps under the circumstance she's a married woman, so she wants to live with her husband. It's a normal thing. And also the chashash is a chashash rachok. Some say that this rule only applies where the Gemara mentions it specifically. You can't learn from that any other case, and then everything we're talking about is irrelevant. But most poskim hold not like that. that it applies to all similar cases, and therefore what we're talking about is relevant. But according to the opinion that it only applies to the specific cases the Gemara mentions, then there's nothing to talk about. If it's not one of those cases, then this rule doesn't apply, and you have to take into consideration the danger. Okay, some say that it extends a little bit more, that wherever it's mentioned in halachic literature, Rishonim, Achronim, also, but you can, on your own, compare it to other cases. But Lemaisa, before that Achron compared it, was the same thing, so, right, obviously it's something that can be expanded, and for the most part, most poskim hold that it's not limited to specific cases, it's limited to specific conditions. And that's what we're discussing now, what those conditions are. Okay. Okay, another interesting point here, is it only for people who don't know there's a danger? Shomer Psoyim Hashem means the Ribbono Shel Olam protects fools, or naive people, better, naive people. So it's only naive people don't know there's a danger, but a Talmud Chacham or a wise person who knows there's a danger, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not going to protect him, he can protect himself. God only protects those who can't protect themselves. But isn't there but people can protect themselves, let them protect themselves. So there is an opinion that this only applies to people who aren't aware of the danger. Then the whole thing is irrelevant also, because people aren't aware of the danger, aren't going to have shilas. Right? So we don't interfere, that's the thing, that the Rabbanim didn't interfere and have to tell a person if they're not aware, so the Rabbanim will take care of them. But somebody who's aware of it can't put himself into that situation. But again, most poskim hold not like that. That it applies even to Talmidei Chachamim, and it has nothing to do with whether you're aware or not aware, it has to do with the other conditions that we're mentioning. Okay.
Let's say you're not aware of the other conditions either.
Yeah, okay, then there's nothing to talk about. I mean, but we're talking about now, for somebody who knows the danger, knows that there's such an inyan, not put yourself in such a danger, knows that there's an inyan, shomer psalim Hashem, now the shayla is, what should you do? Okay. Okay, and some say that this klal only applies to dangers that are not natural dangers, but skula kind of dangers. In other words, dangers that are not rational kinds of things, but more metaphysical kinds of dangers that are not skydiving or other things that are dangerous that you can see cause and effect what the danger is, but things that are, there's no cause and effect that you can see that this is a dangerous thing, except Chazal said it's dangerous, segula, right? It's dangerous to eat fish and milk and the meat together, those kind of dangers, then this applies. But to dangers that are actual physical dangers, not only physical, but things that you can see the cause and effect, there it doesn't apply to. So according to this, most of the things that we'd be involved in, this whole cloud doesn't apply. But most poskim don't hold like that. And they hold that it applies. The biggest proof is that the Gemara speaks about a girl getting pregnant and dying because of it. That's not a segula. That's lechora, a natural kind of danger, and the Gemara says it applies over there. Okay, and some say that this only applies where there's a mitzvah involved. Where there's no mitzvah involved, there it doesn't apply, and that most poskim don't hold up. There's a separate klal of shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovar ra. A person doing a mitzvah also can be less cautious. But there also, the Gemara says with Feirish that afilu, holche mitzvah, right, holche, what's the lashon? What's it called? Is it holche mitzvah in a nizokin? No, shluche mitzvah. Shluche mitzvah. So that is very limited to only where it's not a reasonable danger. Where it's a usual danger, right, Shchiyah Chazeka, this rule doesn't apply at all. Usual danger, mitzvahs don't help either. So some say, first of all, you have to be mechaven l'shem mitzvah. It can't be a mitzvah that you just happen to be doing, but a mitzvah that you intend to do, and that only in that case does it help. clearly it's where it's only the danger is not usual. Can you say that a mitzvah will protect you? Some say that it's only by a sakana sgula, same kind of thing, right? That these metaphysical kind of dangers, but not real danger, but even though the Gemara, which speaks about the dangers, is talking, in one place it's talking about dangers of kishuf, of, but there's other cases it's talking about dangers, real dangers, where Shmuel Hanavi was told to go and anoint David, and he said, I got a little problem. If Shaul finds out, kill me. That's not a metaphysical danger. That was a real danger. And there, the Gemara wanted to say Shluchei Mitzvah Nizakim, but since it's Shriach Hezekah, he had to tell him something else. So you see that if it wouldn't be that it was Shriach Hezekah or whatever, it would be that it would apply there too. Okay, some say that these rules only apply if it happens to happen occasionally. But on a regular basis, to do a mitzvah even, where there's a danger, or to rely on the Shomer Psoyim Hashem, you can't do it unless it's, again, occasional, not on a regular basis. There's a shaila whether this applies to mitzvahs d'rabbanan or not. Only mitzvahs d'oraisa. Okay, and many poskim hold it applies even to rabbinic mitzvahs. Some say that this only applies where if you don't do the dangerous thing, the mitzvah will be bottled completely. You won't be able to do the mitzvah at all. But if that's not the case, you could do it a different time or whatever, then you can't rely on this. Okay, it's interesting. There's even times when because something is a mitzvah, it's more dangerous. Something's not a danger, but if it's for a mitzvah, for instance, the halacha of haseba, that you don't recline on your right side because you may choke. Right? The whole year round could be there's no Indian dafka to do that. It's only Pesach night. Because then we're afraid that since it's a zman, a mitzvah, whatever, special time, there's more danger where things are more important. Same thing with eating horseradish or lettuce and not tovling it in charosis. It's just a danger because of the kafa, some kind of poison or something. But we eat lettuce the whole year and we don't dip it into charosis. But they say that because it's only Pesach night, where it's a special night, that the danger becomes greater. Because in special times, everything becomes intensified. But on a regular night, no problem of eating lettuce. You're not going to get any, not going to have any adverse reaction to it. Okay, so sometimes the fact that there's a mitzvah involved makes a sakana greater, not less. But that's those are limited things. Okay. Bottom line from all of this. Okay, you see what a lot of the bottom line. I would say what we are noheg. Somebody asked me a shaila. Right, should I do this thing? Can I do this thing? I have to go and go to a country that's a little dangerous to go to or whatever. But it's my parnasa, right? Turkey now, right? I have to go. My company's sending me to Turkey to for something. Right? Can I go there? Even though it's sakana, or I may lose my job or whatever. So here, usually the conditions that really make a difference are the following. Is it important to do? In other words, is your parnasa involved? Is it something that you will have a great loss of money if you don't do it? Going to claim your rush or something? That's one condition. How important is it? Right? Is it something you're doing? Oh, we want to take a vacation. We couldn't figure anywhere else to go, but we decided to go to Syria, you know, what's it called, for the weekend. Right. That's one thing. Or, again, like we said, it's a parnasa. It's, okay, that's one consideration. That's an ikar. Second consideration. How big is the danger? Right? How imminent and how usual is the danger? And how big is the danger? What is the worst that could happen? Right, they'll give you a fine, they'll, what's it called, put you in prison, right? Or they may cut off your head, or what's it called, or whatever, right? That's second consideration. How big is the danger? What kind of danger? Third consideration is there any other way of doing this that you can minimize the danger? Obviously, if there is, then the child is not a child. The those are pretty much the ikkar considerations, right? How big the danger is, how usual it is to happen, right? How much of a good chance that it could happen, or how really remote it's a possibility, but a remote possibility, and how important is the thing you're doing. What would be the repercussions if you didn't do this thing? How would it harm you for sure, based on putting yourself and risking something where the harm... So then you weigh out what the possible harm could be if you do it, what's the for sure harm that will be if you don't do it, and what's it called? Weigh the two together. Okay. Therefore, most things where people are putting themselves into dangerous situations are either parnasa things or family things that could affect, you know, shalom bias or interpersonal relationships or whatever, but not leisurely enjoyment or whatever. Now, this, let's go back to the skydiving. Okay, how dangerous is skydiving? I'm not 100% sure. I know a childhood friend of mine who was part of a skydiving, you know, weekend kind of thing, and he landed without a parachute once. He didn't skydive after that. It was a terrible thing. Right? And everybody said at the time, why do you need that for? Why do you have to go skydiving for? Okay, but they didn't say that before he did it. They just said after it. Now, it could be that it's a chashash rachov, that most people who go skydiving, right, the parachutes usually open. Like, if they didn't, I don't think it would be a sport that a lot of people would be involved in unless they were interested in committing suicide. So it's probable, okay, I don't know. I don't know the statistics. But it's probable that somebody who gets hurt skydiving, right, is unusual. How unusual, I don't know. You have to see the statistics. It could be that not everybody gets killed either, right? You can, your parachute open, you end up in a tree. Or, you know, or somewhere, I guess, I mean, in my mind, I just can't be massing anybody jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. But if you do it already, there's other dangers too. Okay. So the first thing I would have to do is investigate how shchiyah, how usual is there that danger comes from it. Okay. In other words, how many people out of, you know, 1,000 people go skydiving, what's the incidence of parachutes not opening up, which is the worst possibility, and even if the parachutes open, what other things could happen, and how serious are they? Right, a person could tear his pants, you know, getting caught in a tree, or he could, you know, lose a leg too, getting caught in a tree. How often is that instance? That's one thing that has to be investigated. How dangerous is skydiving? It seems to be a not really a great safe thing, but I would imagine that it's not as dangerous as I would consider it, you know, just like this. Okay. And I'm sure that they have, you know, precautions that they take or whatever, and okay. So let's assume that it's not something that every time you jump out of a plane with a parachute, you're going to get hurt. Or even 1 out of 10 times. But it's something that's a chash rachok, that damage is going to come. Okay, next thing. How important is it? Even to take a chashash rachok, but for no purpose, right, just stam for the fun of it, that mistam is asr. Okay? Even though, if that's true, then people shouldn't be allowed to go to amusement parks and go on the roller coaster or the whatever the other things. Personally, I never saw any great, hanah of scaring yourself to death. But
Other people do.
Yeah, they what's it called? They love to go out. They pay for it too. So, but it is risky that you do hear every once in a while of somebody getting hurt. And for sure, you have a greater chance of getting hurt if you're on a roller coaster than if you're walking on the street. So, and that's for sure. There's no purpose to it. It's just fun. So you're allowed to go on something for fun where there's even a chashash rachok that you could be harmed. Again, it could be that statistically, right, the amount of people that are hurt on roller coasters is no greater than the people who walk on the street and a car jumps the curb and kills them, which happens also. I don't know. I would imagine, hold on. So that's the second consideration. Is there a purpose over here? Now, if it's proven, or that for certain kinds of kids, right, this kind of experience will really benefit them, right, then I would say there's another consideration. Well, is there another kind of experience that could be the same thing but less risk? Maybe they don't have to jump out of planes. Maybe they can go hiking, you know, in the desert for 4 days or whatever, which maybe is less of a danger if you're prepared and have all the right supplies or whatever, right? Or they can go bicycling in the rain, you know, in a circle around and around for 10 hours in the rain if they want to do that too. Right? Maybe that's uplifting and will, you know, really give them a lot of self-esteem or whatever, or at least tire them out so they won't be able to do anything wrong. Are there other alternatives that could get the same benefit without the same risk? That's the next thing. After ascertaining all of those answers, then the answer would be, if yes, it's a chashash rachok. The incidence of danger, right, is minimal. And there's a toelis. Really is something that for these kids is important, then I would say that they should do it. If either of those is not the case, it's a bigger danger, especially if people don't do it all the time and aren't trained in it, whatever, it's a danger. Not just that your parachute won't open up, but other dangers. And it's not that necessary, because you could find other things that will accomplish the same thing. It's not like you have to go for your parnasa or whatever. You want to become a stuntman or something, and you don't really have any other parnasa, and this is a parnasa, and people do it. So maybe it's okay. The person feels that he doesn't have any other avenue of parnasa, and this is a parnasa, and people do it, and there's precautions, and it could be you're allowed to do that. But if you want to be a stuntman, you don't need it for parnasa. You just want to do it for the fun of it, then it's a different story than Mustami. You're not allowed to do it. So I would say that would be the considerations to know whether this is mutter or not mutter. Okay, yeah. What's what?
What is the purpose?
You walked in a little late. The purpose was that these kind of extreme sports or... What?
The Rav said that only if there is a purpose. I'm wondering what is included in a valid purpose.
Oh, you mean, what's the purpose of this skydiving?
Yeah, what purposes are called purposes as opposed to that purpose?
Well, again, here the purpose was supposedly is to rehabilitate these kids. Mm-hmm. And this is a way to do it. And again, there may be other ways to rehabilitate kids excited throwing them out of airplanes. Some kids, I think, should be rehabilitated by throwing them out of airplanes without a parachute. But that's the only way to rehabilitate some kids. But in any case, but here it's talking about rehabilitating them with a parachute. There may be other ways of doing it. I don't know. You know, when I went to school, that wasn't exactly one of the ways of chinuch or whatever, throwing a guy out of a plane with a parachute. There were other things that they did that I guess people ended up still normal too without doing that.
Ping pong.
Whatever. Yeah, you know.
It's a pretty dangerous game.
Right. The major thing is tzorchei derech eretz, meaning carrying on a normal life. Normal life means you have to make a parnasa, so parnasa is a tzorech. A normal life means that you can't inhibit your activity to where you become a prisoner of yourself. Right? We gave the example of crossing the street. If for sure it's more dangerous to cross the street. It's surely dangerous to go over railroad tracks. But if you drive your car only places where you don't have to ever cross the street or walk only on the same side of the street your whole life, right, and never go in a place where you have to... It's absurd. You can't live your life like that. Right? But there are things that you can... Right, now, driving a car, right? It's much safer not to drive a car, l'chora, right? But you're allowed to drive a car. Because in the world we live in, you can't get along without getting in a car and going somewhere. You don't have to drive it, but be driven. You can't run your life only walking. Even if you live in Matat Yov, I mean, it used to be maybe you could, but now it's not shayach. So those are called tzrachim. It doesn't have to be, you know, life or death tzorach. It has to be what's normal life. That's called Derech Eretz. What's a normal way of the world? Not just that normally people do it, but they do it because that's how you live a normal life. And that changes, I guess, from generation to generation. Because what was normal, you know, before, you didn't have to get in a wagon and go anywhere. You could stay in your little shtetl, and you don't have to go traveling around the world or whatever. But today, people can't just stay in their own shtetl. They have to go to another city. They have to go shopping. It's just normal.
But the Rebbe is describing is basically risk-benefit analysis, in a sense, if you want to talk a professional way, right? The risk times the benefit. But this is something
that's what I was describing?
Yes. No, the question is there a halakhic way...
So that sounds really, harsh.
No, but the question is, this is a big question, because the question is, we know that all these surahs were with a shiur, right? So is there some way to get... I've always wondered, what is... normal, what is, like, is it 1 in 1,000, 1 in 60, what is, you know, there must be some...
There is an idea like this. Whenever there's a halacha of rov,
right,
and miut, right, so there's a halacha of miut hamotzui. Now, last week I mentioned it. I'm not sure if it applies. I didn't see anybody who says it.
Yeah.
Right? But miut hamotzui means that it's more than 10%. That's how most people hold miut hamotzui is. Miut hamotzui means... it's a minority of times, but it's a usual kind of minority. It's not an unusual minority. It's not a small minority. It's a what's motsui mean? Motsui means it's usual. Yeah, I guess usual. Usual minority, not an unusual minority. Less than 10%. So 10% at a time, I'm sure. 10% of the time, people don't get damaged by skydiving.
Right, probably 1 in 60 they don't get damaged either.
Well, that's 60 is not the...
60 is not child. You think 10 is child.
Yeah, I'm saying anything. Well, that's what's called a not a miut. 50%.
Right.
Every other guy who jumps out of a plane gets damaged. Right, I can't imagine. No, people wouldn't be doing it unless they're in the army or something like that, and it's wartime and they have to do it. But otherwise, people would not do this as a sport. Right, if every second person got hurt.
Sure.
So it has to be a small incident, child is how much? And then, like you said, you have to weigh out the risk connected the benefit. That's basically a thing. It's not a... there's no tables. It's not like an actuary, right? Right. You couldn't make a table like this that applied to every situation. Every situation is different, and it's also, I'll tell you, those are different. Who's you going skydiving with? Right? How professional are the people, or are these just a bunch of people that needed self-esteem, so they became people who were giving people skydiving lessons? I mean, there's also these other things also. Somebody asked me a shiloh also. I don't know why I get these. It's not from people here. This is not... somebody called me. I don't even know where they were from. They want to go paintball, and they don't want to wear the protective gear. Right?
There's no protective gear.
There's no protective gear? Oh, they told me there is.
All there is a mask, and that's...
they told me there's a face thing, and there's also shin guards or some other thing. No, I don't know. I never did it. I don't really see the thing of being shot with paintball either. That it really excites me to. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know. Maybe I'm different.
It helps you learn your tongue.
What? Right. I don't know what it helps you do anything, but I never really had this great urge of having people shoot at me with dyes or whatever. But I guess people enjoy that. That's something to do. If you have nothing to do, so it's something to do, I guess. So they wanted to know, is it usher not to use the protective... I said, why didn't one use protective gear? They said, because it's too cumbersome, you know, it just takes away all the fun of the whole thing of, you know, being shot in the eye or something, you know. I don't know, maybe I'm just crazy, but I don't understand but I know that there are people here who have gone for these paintball things, and they're funny. My kids did it, whatever. And it's, when I understood, it's not a big danger, right? And again, there also, I'm sure that there are people who get hurt by paintball. People who get hurt crossing the street too. But it's not, an exceptional danger. But it could be that if you don't wear the protective thing, especially if I could see in your face, You don't wear something around your face and your eyes that you're putting a risk that's not necessary. For what? Well, it's not your parnasa. It's not, you know, you're not going to lose any money if you don't do this, especially if you don't use the face guard. So what do? You'll lose a little. It'll be a little harder to get hurt. I don't know exactly what the thing was. And that was the Shiloh. So, yeah.
I would think that it would be another dimension, but I don't know exactly how to deal with it.
Yeah.
No problem with Parnassa. I could be a librarian. Or I would do something very meek.
No, but could you? Maybe no not. But yeah, maybe you can't be a librarian.
No. I'm saying a case where you could be. Or you could be a clerk.
But I don't want to be that.
No, you do.
So do it.
This is the case I'm talking about. Okay. Like the Rambam always says, I make the mushroom.
Right. Okay. I love to be quoted.
Right. Yeah, exactly. However, I also know that somebody has to be a firefighter, somebody has to be a chablan for the police department, etc. And there should be somewhere to measure that out too.
Yes and no. Your marshal is exactly this point. Some people want to be librarians. Some people don't want to be librarians. They want to be firefighters. The Rambam says the world exists on mishugoyim, la'osel dover. Okay? He's not talking about crazy people. Everybody has their mishugas. Some people even want to be rabbis. Right? What kind of job is that for a Jewish boy, right? That's not a joke. It's right? If you look at the world, right, people have motivations that other people don't have. It can't explain it. There's no reason why somebody, right, wouldn't think of their wildest dreams to want to do things that other people do. But that's the way the world is.
Okay, but if you take a guy who he doesn't have that particular push,
then he
but he knows that somebody in town has to be prepared to go into a fire, to put it out, to rescue people, etc. So
it has to be somebody who has a cheshik to do it and feels that's if somebody doesn't have a cheshik to do it, right, and they're doing it just altruistically, usually they're not going to be successful. They won't be a good fireman. They're doing it connected their and any things like that. Any job. People come to me, say, this job, if you don't enjoy it, you can't do it. And you won't be good at it. It's only if you have some kind of netiya to that thing, right? You can't force yourself to do something that you're not interested in doing. Because it'll work for a day, two, right? Vivekis Raya is Moshe Matityahu before we, right? You can't force yourself to be a lulan if it's not in you and you're something else, right? And the same thing goes with it. Unless you have an atiyah for that thing, it just can't work. It can work idealistically for a week, two, three. Beyond that, you lose your idealism because it's not you. I don't like this thing. I can't get up every morning and do something that you're not cut out to do and that you don't like to do. Therefore, there are, Baruch Hashem, plenty of people in the world who both can do it and have an interest to be in Hatzalah and what's it called? I mean, look for your own kids. Look for, what's it called? Have kids who, why in the world would they want to go, you know, and see somebody bleeding? They probably faint on the spot. And other ones, like, you know, they're just waiting for somebody to go, you know, get really banged up so they can go help them or whatever. That it's like they're different people. Completely different people, right? The chara, that's a metzias of the world, and the Rabban Hashem made the world like that. That this way everything gets taken care of, but not any one person could possibly do any things, even if it's necessary.
Well, going back a whole bunch of years here in Matijero, for example, whenever there were fires that broke out in the area that's now Lapid, so all the men here had to go out there and fight the fire. They didn't want to do
and
it.
And I understand. And the ones that had a chush for it fought the fire. And the other ones were baggage.
No, I don't think so. I think everybody had to do it because it was dangerous.
That's a different story.
Yeah, I mean, that's an emergency on the spot, right? But not everybody should learn to be a firefighter based on that, right? Yeah, okay, I hear that. But even there, the people who had a chush for it were a lot more successful in what they were doing, and the other people did it. You know, they did it because it was an emergency, but, you know, I think sometimes better to have left them home. Unless you needed bodies or whatever. But again, there were people who enjoyed doing shivuk because it was like, you know, their thing. I don't know. Now, I think that's a metzias. Therefore, you can't say, well, be something else. I can't be something else. That's me. Right? This is what I like to do. You can't put somebody in, I've seen it hundreds of times, can't put somebody into a job that they're just not interested in doing, even if they can do it. But you can't do something day in and day out that you don't enjoy doing. And people enjoy doing different things. If it didn't, then the world couldn't get along.
What if it's not a danger? It's just a paintball shooting. You're wearing your protective gear, but you get bruised. But it's not, you don't die from it.
Yeah, they asked me about this too.
So now it's, can you do that? You're not going to, not on life and death.
So it depends. There's a halacha of chovil biatzmo is awesome. Not only, you're not allowed to bruise yourself. You're surely not allowed to inflict wounds on yourself. This is a big shiloh about piercing. Right? Somebody asked me a shiloh last night, not here. Or near Le'elef. Right? They deal with some borderline frum kids, girls, that wanted to know, the parents don't want this girl to get a tongue ring. I wonder why. I mean, the parents said that if you get a tongue ring, it is a busha to us and a tsar to us. And the girl wanted to know if als kibud av va'em, she has to not get a tongue ring, or eyebrow ring, or nose ring, or a bar in her ear. These were the things that were described to me. Now, that really the halacha is, in the time of Tanakh, there were nose rings. Okay? So, you can't say that it's 100% osur to wear a nose ring. Here it depends also, what is cosmetic, ornamental in that society? If everybody in society, I mean, what's the difference between an earring and a nose ring? Right? There's absolutely no difference between them, except one is an ear and one is in a nose. But otherwise, the truth is, there's no difference between them. Absolutely no difference. Right? Piercing your ear would be usher if nobody wore earrings and you did it to hurt yourself. Right? Or to put some kind of, you know, Palestinian flag in your ear as a statement of, you know, of Marid against the Rabbanu Shalom, it's also usher. But if you're doing it for ornamental, what's the word for, decorative purpose, right? Right, then it's no different than an earring and smutter. You're not being chovel, you're not damaging yourself for a negative reason, you're doing it for a positive reason, right? You think you look good with a nose ring, right? You want your husband to be able to walk you around.
That would only be for girls.
No. If boys do it, it'd be the same thing. If all men had nose rings, then a man could have a nose ring too. If all men wore earrings, it'd be okay too. It's only because women wear earrings and men, well, today is whatever, right? But if all men would wear a certain kind of earrings or whatever, then there'd be nothing wrong with a man wearing an earring either. So what I told the guy is the following. I said, it depends why what she's doing. First of all, if the parents don't want, it is definitely a busha for a parent, a frum parent, to have a frum daughter who has a tongue ring. Okay? Even let's say there's no isser in it at all, it's decorative and it's not, but in frum circles, it's just not done. So the parents have a legitimate right. So even if it would be a mitzvah, the halacha is that if it gives the parents sar and busha, not subjective, objective, right? In other words, a parent says, I don't even want you to marry that guy or that girl. Okay? So the halacha is you don't have to listen to your parents because it's a mitzvah and they can't tell you what to do, how to do a mitzvah, not do a mitzvah. But if it's there's a reason why not, right? That guy or that girl is a gangster, right? A well-known mafia person or whatever, and it's really a busha. I don't want you marrying the, what's it called, a gangster. So it's not like the parents saying, "Oh, I'll have a heart attack if you marry that person," right? He's sitting and learning Torah. You know what's it called? It's a busha to me. That's subjective busha. That's not objective busha. But if it's real busha, then everybody would understand in the society you live in, this guy is an embarrassment. So then you have to listen to the parent. Even though the parent doesn't have a right to tell you what to do in mitzvah, that's only as kibud avoim. But busha and tsar, if it's legitimate, you have to listen. So I said, even if it be a mitzvah to have a tongue ring, and the parents say for us it's a busha, and that is, what's it called, the fact, whatever, and that's the society, then they have the parents have a right. So that's kibud avoim. Let's say it wouldn't be like that. Wouldn't be a busha for the parent or whatever. The shaila then is, if this is something you're doing because you feel that it makes you look, you know, attractive or whatever, and you really have a bland-looking tongue and you really need that ring in it to make it look, you know, so you'll look... just for argument's sake. And that's the reason you're doing it, and in the society you're in, people do it normally. It's an accepted thing. Then there should be no issue. If, however, people who wear tongue rings are making a statement, it's a rebellion, or the kind of earring you wear, depending on where it is in your ear and which ear it is, makes a statement about something that is not Torah-dic, not sneistic, not within Torah values, then it's 100% osur. It's osur, first of all, because you're chovel, because there's no purpose for it. The purpose is osur, and mamela, the isur is thing. Secondly, it's like chukas agoyim. Worse than chukas agoyim sometimes, because you're basically doing something that makes a statement that's anti-Torah, that's not in the realm of Torah. That would be osur. So based on those considerations, right, whether you're allowed to bruise yourself or not, depends on if there's a tzorich. In other words, a lot of things you can get bruised, right? But there's a tzorich for it, right? A person, again, with parnasa. People who are firemen usually get bruised, okay? But or policemen or hatzolah people or zaka people or whatever, they end up with bruises or cowboys. I don't know, whatever you could be, right?
Also for paintballing, you can.
One second. But here, I'm not doing it to hurt myself, right? I'm not a masochist. I'm doing it because I enjoy doing this, right? You enjoy hiking, so you're going to get, what's it called, bruises on your feet. But I enjoy doing that, and it's exhilarating for me. It could be that's not osur, that's not called chovel b'yatzmo. There's a toelis. So a person says, look, I need this outlet, right? I just enjoy, you know, having people shoot at me with dyes or whatever. It's just, you know, something that, again, I'm saying this not so facetiously, but you have to know what the tzorich is. It could be, it doesn't have to be a tzorich gadol. It just has to be that it makes it that it's not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not chovel, it's not to harm yourself, but there's like the things like this. How about having an operation that is just cosmetic? Just cosmetic. So it's mamish chovel, right? So there could be a tzorech that, right? I have a nose that every time I go out, people are laughing at me, pointing or whatever, and it's a terrible busha. That's already a real tzorech, right? That's already considered like a machla. Right? A person's sick, not their fault, but they get sick from the shame or whatever. But let's say it's not like that. Okay, but the person feels better about themselves because they have you know, a nicer face or whatever, right? Even though they're not a busha or whatever, just I feel better, just like these guys with the jumping out of thing, or even the paintball people or whatever, right? I feel better about myself. I'm not doing this to harm myself. I'm doing it because of a positive reason. It's just that positive reason involves something that normally would be harmful or destructive. That's really funny. It's not destructive, it's constructive. But in order to have the constructive thing, I have to have something destructive. Then that could be okay.
So playing baseball, basketball,
say? Anything, yeah. In a chanan. So those, I'm not doing it to get hurt. Right? If I go out to get paintball and hope that somebody's going to bruise me, that's 100% awesome. And the person should go to a psychiatrist. Right? But most people don't do it because they want to get bruised, but they don't mind getting bruised because they enjoy whatever it is to enjoy in paintball, whatever it is. It must be something because people pay for it too. Right, so there must be something enjoyable about it.
Alcoholic beverages for kids.
How about alcoholic beverages for adults? Again, it's people who drink because they enjoy drinking and they don't become drunks, right? And it doesn't cause them to do anything bad. So, mistama, for people who enjoy, you know, drinking whatever it is, it's mistama, it's like eating. But somebody who drinks and it's harmful to them, it's destructive, right? And they act destructively, and they're killing their liver or whatever else comes with alcoholism, then it's awesome. Then you're basically harming yourself. But it depends how much you do and why you're doing it and what the result is afterwards. All these things are like that. So that's why I said there's no table that you could possibly make, like an actuary, that you could look at it and say, okay, here, this is okay because it's on the table. It really depends on every specific situation different and every person different, what their tzorich is. So two people come and say they want cosmetic surgery, one person could be mutter, one person could be 100% awesome. So it really depends on the person, on the situation. It could be the exact same thing. The people are different people. One has a need, one doesn't have the need. One won't help anyway, so what does it matter? Yeah.
What about cigarettes? Like cigarettes, it's even like
cigarettes.
You pay money, it's doing. You don't have from it nothing, and even you have bad. You don't feel good, and still you give money.
Yeah, and the people pay money for a lot of things in this world that are not good for them.
Yeah, but you're allowed to do it.
Who said you're allowed to do it?
Last week, because you said, like, should you
not... That we said, yeah, but yeah, don't make a mistake. We said that about 40 years ago.
Yeah, but now
we're like... For anybody to start smoking, I don't think there's any post-sick holes that anybody's allowed to start smoking today.
Okay, but when you start, you finish.
No, I don't mean start that cigarette. I'm talking about start smoking altogether.
Yeah, but like when you do when you go inside the water, you don't spend for me money, and even you don't have for me it's only maybe you didn't have from there a bad feeling and stuff I didn't feel good. And then you're supposed to allow to go down because even cigarettes were allowed for showing.
No, cigarettes are much more dangerous than paintball. Much more dangerous. With paintball, the worst you can do is get bruised. With cigarettes, you get a lot worse.
Who smokes? The person you're allowed to do paintball and all this stuff. It's a lot more. Smoke is a lot more dangerous from paintball.
What?
You're allowed to do paintball.
Yeah,
again. You smoke. Even you're allowed to smoke, the person you're allowed to do paintball.
Does it make a difference if something's legal or not legal in terms of this? For example, putting children in car seats is the law, but in a taxi, it's legal to not have a car seat, even though there's no reason why it should be safer. It's just because of the convenience they made it that it's not illegal. But in terms of this, is that a relevant factor?
If something is illegal, then usually if you live in that place and you have to keep the laws of that place, then you're over on Dina de Malchus Adina. Right? The laws that were made to protect the safety of people, and here to protect the safety of the children. So you have no right to say, well, it's my kid, I don't mind if he gets, through windshield or whatever, it's my prerogative, it's not your prerogative. So that's Dina de Malchus, which even in Eretz Israel, I don't think anybody holds is you don't have to do it. But even if it wouldn't be, right? So you're going on the other side, but it is legal not to have, right? So then the question: what?
I was in Mayun one Friday night, and somebody came in and got through the windscreen from the back seat.
What is a windscreen?
The windshield. So the doctor asked, "Why didn't you wear a thing?" It's an old car; we don't have to have it. He said, what do you mean it's an old car? It makes no difference. It's just that the law, they haven't enforced it yet on cars beyond a certain age. You still have to put a seatbelt on. It's safe. It's unsafe not to do so.
Yes, so the question is, when I was in the States, I got into a car, I usually put a seatbelt on. I mean, I always put a seatbelt on. And the person who was driving me, Frumrov, he said, you don't have to put the seatbelt on. He said, it's not proven that seatbelts make things worse or not, and if you get into an accident anyway, then it's Bashir. I don't know what he was telling me, it sounded ridiculous. I told him it's okay, I'll put a seatbelt. He was telling me like it's wrong halachically to put on a seatbelt because it shows a chisorin and a moon and bita. I don't know exactly what he was talking about, but I guess if that's the case, when are you tying yourself to the railroad tracks next? Because it seems to me you don't have a lot of emunah and bita. I don't know, but again, it would seem that yes, it is dangerous to be in a car not strapped in, and for children. I mean, if there's an accident, it's for sure a lot more dangerous if you're not strapped in than you are. Again, what the incidence of, I guess accidents is a high incidence of accidents, even because you don't have to have a terrible accident. You have to have even minor accident, and you could still, I know somebody who, because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, is basically in a wheelchair and not functioning 100%. And he was just driving a regular errand around the house, around the neighborhood, and he got into a fender bender, but his head hit the windshield. And so it doesn't have to be terrible, and that those kind of accidents happen all the time. So I would imagine that that's shchiya chezeka, and that somebody has to do that. Whether it's legal or not legal doesn't make a difference, really. Unless the reason that it's legal is because it's not dangerous. But that's not the case over here. There's no svara that in taxi cabs it's less dangerous than a regular car. The svara is just the opposite.
Bus, it could be that it's less dangerous.
Huh?
It could be on a bus. Babies don't have to be in a car seat on a bus. It could be it's less dangerous because of the size of the
If you're going that far to the windshield already, then...
it all depends where you're sitting. Yeah. If you sit in the front, it's dangerous. In the back of the bus, you're only going to hit the seat in front.
Okay.
I know that I do want to go once again lift to Rabdul Prat.
Put
it down to my girlfriend. I was wondering, with Yom Yoni, which had in Matyal. I didn't put a seatbelt on. He said, Chagi, why didn't you put a seatbelt on? I said, Chagi, lo basada. And then he told me that he was in a car, somebody gave him a lift. The car rolled three times. He had a seatbelt on, and now I'm upset. Yetzati bari b'shalem, v'kova haya adayin ala rosh.
Oh, wow. He had the seatbelt over his head.
No. On him.
It was a black hat.
But for example, in tractors.
But the real reason he was saying because of the hat.
No. But he said that his hat was. For example, in tractors, agricultural tractors. It says, Laura, if I look at the head, but now they put them in the seatbelt.
Okay, I think at least we have a better understanding of what they. Not a better understanding of what any specific situation is, but better understanding what the klalim are, at least, what the factors are. And Mirz Hashem, we should do normal things, normal times, and but what's normal is, again, everybody's different. What's normal for one person, not normal for another person.
The issues of the health of the teacher about making it seem like it's really not us, it's not permitted to generally have any activity that's just for fun. Now it's like watching a football game.
Yeah, but nothing is just for fun because people need some relaxation too. So for some people, that's better than if they don't have that relaxation. What they don't have that outlet. What else should they be doing? Especially for teenagers, young people, whatever, old people. What can they do anyway? So. Yeah.